Hello, and welcome to another episode of Codex, the podcast where we explore the worlds that we like, or sometimes just worlds that we have thoughts about. My name is Phil.
And I'm Logan.
And today we are talking about Pal World.
So Pal World's basically, what, like all of the mechanics crammed into one island? like every popular tag you can think of from the last, like, 10 years just stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, you have what? You have tree punching.
Tree punching, yep.
You have cooking.
Yep.
There's crafting and building.
Uh-huh.
The civilization tech tree.
Yeah.
There's third-person shooting.
Factions.
Oh, yeah, factions. There's boss towers. It's like a third-person exploration game, so you got some new Zelda in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically all the games.
So, yeah, your basic gameplay loop, collect resources, capture legally distinct Pokemon.
Somewhat legally distinct.
The numbers go up. Repeat.
Yeah. You capture critters to get XP. Or I guess you murder critters, but you get more XP by capturing them, I think.
Are they murdered? I think you get more XP up through your 10th.
Okay. So bonuses for capturing the same species.
Yeah. Yeah, and the bonus is pretty sizable.
Yeah, so you do that, and then you explore the world, gather materials, build up a base, get more stuff so you can build more things in the base as you level up, and then the base gets bigger, and then you, like, you make a Henry Ford assembly line to have your critters making guns so that you can take on scarier people.
Boy, we're gonna get there. Yeah, so I guess that's maybe that's obviously the thing I wanted to talk about, is how we've taken the Pokemon model and we're like, well, what if instead of just dogfighting, we did, like, slavery capitalism too?
Yeah, I have a fun quote from plundering all of the journals and everything.
Uh-huh.
And it was the most standout. Oh, this is the quote we should open with. And it's at the end of one of the journals, and it says, "Whether in killing fellow men or pals, this island has a way of making one forget about their ethics."
Yeah. I found it to be the inverse of that personally, but that's because my life is not in danger while playing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
made me more aware of the ethics involved, I think, if anything.
Yeah. But it's, I feel like it sets up a good tone for what the game is actually presenting, where, like, you, I guess, like, the daunted video game ludonarrative dissonance, but, like, the idea that you are playing this game that looks like Fortnite and has all of these cute critters running around who get X's on their eyes if you punch them too much. And the first, I don't know, it's the first, like, journal character that you run into. It's called, his name is the Castaway. And it's the person, mm-hmm, that is just, like, leaving. It's all the cards on the pedestals that you pick up for the most part out in the open, yeah, world. And it just turns into this weird thing where all you do is put things in the machine, like, whether the machine is put them to work in the the tree chopping work camp in your base, or if it's,
mm-hmm,
the thing that's, like, literally called a berry plantation, which has some,
yeah,
real bad connotations to it. Like,
how much of this is intentional or otherwise related to translation?
Yeah, the localization is a good question. I don't actually know, but it doesn't feel like the game is trying to make a statement about calling the thing a berry plantation. You know, like, it could just be poor, not poor, it could just be, like, localization taking what is in the original Japanese and, like, translating, yeah, it into English that way.
Yeah.
But it is a very pointed word in English to use when it could just be berry farm.
Yeah. I mean, at bare minimum, it means no one checked. That's, like, the best read, right?
Yeah.
Is no one gave a pass over this of just like, hey.
Yeah, or it wasn't.
Is this gonna be weird?
Like, or it wasn't a like a US based localization. I guess I don't know how far reaching the.
But like, it's on Game Pass though, so I have a hard time with even either of those explanations.
Yeah. Yeah, that does like, feel like a.
I feel like Microsoft's got the weight to be like, and the money to just be like, hey, we're going to make this feel slightly less gross on the face and hope people don't notice how gross it actually is underneath.
Yeah, but it's. So
is it intentional then, I guess?
It could be. So there is. One of the places in the game, there's like this desert area that we haven't been to yet. But the boss of that area is a character named Marcus Dryden. And he runs the PIDF, which is the Pelagos Islands Defense Force, which is the cops. So you go there, and it's one of the only factions that doesn't attack you on site. It's only if you've done a bad crime or something. But his journal notes, when you beat him, explain that the PIDF is a police force, and the biggest problem they have is drug use. So all of the people in this town are using drugs from somewhere. And then it is revealed that he's actually the head of the drug syndicate. He creates the drugs, provides them to the community. He sells them to the community. The community then gets busted for drug use and fined. And he gets that money from selling the drugs and also from the police, like taking care of those people. And then he reclaims the drugs and then sells them back to the drug trade. So either the game is very much not aware of what it's doing and just thought, oh, wouldn't it be funny if there is a cop who is also a drug dealer? But
that seems.
You kind of gotta know, right? Like, you have to.
Yeah.
It just seems so weird.
It's doing late stage capitalism at you very aggressively, is what it feels like.
Yeah, but also kind of haphazardly in some ways. Yeah. Like it has themes, but it also doesn't really, it doesn't explore them in a way that is
more anarchy than
that. yeah it is more anarchy.
Okay, so I guess where I've only seen like small factions so far, so who's funding this police force? Is there a government? Because there does not seem to be.
No, it doesn't seem like there is. That's kind of the weird part, too, is that a lot of this is just gesturing at stuff. Because it's still using the trappings of a Pokemon game where there's like, ah, yes, there's the evil faction. So the first one that you run into is the Syndicate. And what the Syndicate is.
Not Team Rocket.
Yes. The legally distinct Team Rocket. But what they are is not explained, and it's just we are a syndicate of people who have to guard this tower, and we have a blood feud with one of the other ones that's called the Free Pal Alliance.
Yep.
And then there are the Brothers of the Eternal Pyre.
Rad. Okay.
Which I don't know if we've seen those.
I have not.
And then there's the Pelagos Island Defense Force, which is the drug guys, and they're in the desert. And then there is the final faction, I think, and that is the PAL Genetic Research Unit.
Ooh, okay.
Which has some fun stuff related to it. Like, they are. So maybe before we get into the Genetic Research Unit, let's take a step back.
I feel like any time someone is about to get into a genetic research unit, they should maybe take a step back. That's just a good standing rule
for everyone. Think about it for a second. I read through a bunch of the Castaway journals. I read the PAL deck just to like see if there's any Dark Souls style stuff hidden in there. Yeah. And there were a couple of weird things that came up. including the question of when is Palworld? When exactly does this take place? Because you land on the island and you are surrounded by medieval style ruins. There are critters there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first person you run into, like the person who is having like a moment by a fireplace about her expedition squad being wiped out, I think she has a gun.
She does. And armor.
Okay. Yeah. So you're there, like, hey, I'm here naked coming out of these ruins. There's a weird fast travel point. There's some sheeps that are balls rolling around. And then there's just a lady with a gun. So it's just like, okay, so guns exist in this world, but also there's this weird dissonance with being in medieval ruins. So when does this take place?
I guess, does asking the question, when does this take place, assume that it is Earth? Because I never considered when, because where seemed to be its own thing also.
So where is kind of solved.
Okay.
In that the whole island of Palworld in the first journal of the castaway, which is the one that you find immediately, I think.
It's at the bottom of the waterfall?
Yeah, that one. Pretty sure that's the one. Basically says, hey, I'm a castaway dude, and there's one mystery left in this world, and there's this weird blank spot on a map, and I don't know what's there, so I'm going to go there. It's just somewhere in the world that no one has touched and doesn't exist.
So this is supposed to be like full-on state of nature island where secret Pokemon have existed this whole time?
Yeah, but here's the thing. The ruins already existed when they got there.
Okay.
So it did exist. Something happened. There are still people here, because in the castaway journals, the castaway references running into syndicate members.
Oh.
So the syndicate, and even the first boss that you fight, the Grizzbolt, and I think her name is Rain or something.
Sure.
He runs into them.
Okay.
So they exist. The castaway is like conflicting, but could possibly be very recent, or also there's other like fan theories that they are one of the first, and the person who runs the genetic research unit is like a descendant from their work. But so that's already like castaway exists, you read their journal, and then the ruins already existed, the syndicate already existed, so like the timing is kind of weird, because like this person from the first person allegedly from the outside world to stumble across this place, first human from the outside world to stumble across this place, discovers it. Oh wait, there's people already here. Oh wait, there's ruins already. And then if you in the crafting menus, there's two items in there. And one of them is a shipping container, and another one is an old television. And they're called large container, and the other one is called an old television. But their descriptions say that they imitate a design left behind by an ancient and prosperous civilization.
Okay.
So the shipping container that says Palworld Express or something, like it is fully just like a shipping container off of a ship. It's a blue corrugated shipping container from a ancient and prosperous society. So now you're potentially like two apocalypses forward, possibly.
Possibly. Who's writing that text? Who's the author of that text, I guess?
I don't know who writes the descriptions. Like, is that...
So if we assume the descriptions are written from the perspective of someone who's only existed on the island, then they could interpret a washed-up shipping container as remnants of a far past age.
I mean, it's very well possible that it, you know, the thing we're kind of excluding here is who is the character?
Yeah.
Like, where do they come from? Because also, are you just, you just do character creation and then you're manifested in the world. Are you teleported there? Are you like instanced? Like, are you a person who just like comes out of nowhere and now here you are?
Is this 1.0 released, or is this early access technically?
It's still a game preview, so I think it's early access still.
Okay. So yeah, like who knows how much of that is a function of that also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there might be a whole thing they have planned bolted on the front end of it that just doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of which, have you noticed the giant Yggdrasil world tree in the distance somewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
I have not pursued it.
I have not noticed this.
But yeah. I don't know if we've gone far enough away from the starting spot.
Okay.
In our group one to have seen it. It does blend into the general scenery relatively well also.
Yeah, I think you have to, like, conquer the towers in order to get there, maybe, trigger to get there. Yeah.
So with the ruins, are you assuming those were built by humans or by pals? Because the pals do pretty intricate work in your base. Like, more intricate than building the broken walls that we see.
Yeah, like manufacturing guns.
Yeah.
I think the way that it is expected is that they worked side by side with humans to construct those. I think that there must have been like a previous golden age, basically, on this island where, like, the mm-hmm. pals and humans lived in harmony and they created great nations, because there's also, like, the thing that the pal sphere, like the Pokeball that you yeah. use, is using potentially the same technology as the towers. Because remember, you go to the tower and you touch the tower and you don't go inside a building. You go into this weird, like, liminal transportation yeah. space where you are just, like, in a crazy star field skybox. Yeah. And then you're just fighting a critter in there. So I think that it was constructed together is kind of how I was taking it.
That's what you're... Okay. Man. I like that you think that humans and pals were, like, working side by side at some point, and not that we immediately subjugated them like we obviously would have.
Yeah. I mean,
we're obviously doing in this second trip around through the state of nature. This yeah. immediate subjugation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, one of the early, like, flavor text we encountered on one of them said they had the intelligence of, like, a 7 or an 8-year-old child.
Yeah, I think that was Lifmunk or something.
And then
yeah.
the game lets you kill that with a knife. Like, that's... Uh-huh.
I mean, it's also one of the earliest creatures that you can get that can hold a submachine gun as its, like, special power, which yeah, has a whole bunch of other inherent ickiness to it.
So, yeah. So we got the, like, labor camp weirdness. We've got the... What happens when you store, like, a sapient creature inside of a pocket dimension ball?
Yep.
Like, is that madness? Does time pass in the Pokeball or the box? Who knows? The forced breeding camp, that's a thing that exists.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can put a man in the ball. You can put a man in the ball.
Can I take you one step further with both of those?
Yeah. Sure.
So I was doing some reading on the PAL Genetic Research Unit.
Uh-huh.
So the PAL Genetic Research Unit, their whole deal...
I bet it'll be super chill.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. Their whole deal is to research the genetics of PALs, specifically in the purpose of doing the forest breeding and bioengineering new pals to, like, yeah. create new scary Uber hybrids.
Pals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem here is that it doesn't really work, and it gets, like, super weird when the pal of the main boss there, whose name is Victor, pal's name is Shadowbeak, which is the first, that's the... Shadowbeak is the Mewtwo of the game.
Okay.
So basically the first and only successfully bioengineered pal. But the kind of secret weird part about it is in the journal entries, the last journal entry, they're saying they're like, oh, we're trying to, like, genetically engineer these and it's not working. We're trying to put four-legged critters with ones that have wings so that we have a flying mm-hmm. four-legged critter. Nothing's working. All of a sudden, there is one success. That's awesome. But we can't replicate the findings. So we have Shadowbeak, but we can't replicate the findings. And then the last addendum on that like, final note from this boss is about how, also, apropos of nothing, I am a little sad that my lab assistant Alex is no longer around and has gone missing. So the like implied thing there is that the only reason that you are able to merge two disparate pals together is with the injection of human DNA, and that perhaps they are all related, and you know, we're doing these crazy scientific experiments. So like the breeding and like successful creation of future pals potentially is related to intermingling with human DNA.
I mean, I think one of the entries mentioned like genetic ancestor also that we apparently shared between the two lines. You find souls also, pal souls.
Yeah.
In a box laying around sometimes. And you can feed them into a pal to make the number bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, like, what does that mean? Like, how are, like, souls manifested within the world? How do they have sizes? What does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah, you can kill them with a knife. I'm surprised that they just say, like, hey, this one's basically a 7-year-old child who you can harvest for parts.
Yeah.
And or sell on the black market. Yeah, we didn't mention that one either. There's black market dudes hiding out in caves. They are some real creepy looking guys usually.
Yeah, the black market is, and I guess it just like goes back to the drug trade thing again though, where it's just like, is this like how much of it is this game is just trying to be the edgy world that has like real world stuff in it that Pokemon refuses to do because it's, you know, every Pokemon game should be someone's first Pokemon game. Like, is it that, or is that?
I mean, we do all of these things though. Like, if you take away a system of government, I mean, even with a system of government, most of those things exist now. Like, we made comment on the police drug connection as being like almost too on the nose.
Yeah.
Like the black market isn't that hard to believe.
Yeah.
We do have 7-year-olds like mining for lithium and shit. So I don't know. You could just say that they gave you a state of nature island and just followed the things that we do already.
Yeah. And I think that is kind of what the, like it's in there, right? Like that is in the text. Like the introduction of guns in the world of Pow World is like kind of written away that, oh, these people are completely disconnected from the outer world as it is. But, you know, it seems assumed that human beings just do be making guns at some point. So like, you know, it obviously they would develop weapons like this because that's just what humans do. So there is a certain amount of like completely isolated state of nature place will ultimately develop weapons of war and then enslave inferior critters to wage that war for you.
Yeah. And I agree that it doesn't feel like they're doing it as a commentary. I think it's just like kind of generic world building that they did. But it's just so on the face that it is a little jarring.
Yeah, and I think the thing that gets me about it is it's not part of the quest design. And again, it's like hard to talk about it because we're still like discussing an early access game. But
yeah,
you land on an island, or you appear on an island, and you're like the way that you interact with the world on the island is that you either like stab things, shoot things, capture things, build things. But there's no main quest in the game that you get when you land there that says, okay, time to, you know, you can't sign up with the PAL Freedom Alliance or whatever it's called and really just go out there and free all these PALs. Or you can't sign up with the PIDF or talk to someone in the town that they run that says, hey, there's a really rampant drug problem and I think the cops are corrupt from the top. And then you go through and like solve that problem. You just land there and these things are simply true and you gain enough power to climb the tower and then you kill the bad guy and you move on with no opening, no middle, no closure. It's just that's what you do. There's a tower, you go to it, you finish the tower, and then you move on to the next one. And I think that that's the thing that's so jarring to me, is that there are, they took the Pokemon styling of, okay, well, you grow up in Pallet Town and now you're going to Cerulean City to beat the gym there. And once you beat the gym there, you just keep going. But then they just layered in all of this stuff where it's like, ah, yes, a drug trade. And there's also a genetics unit that's like making scary monsters. But once you beat the bad guy, that's okay. You just move on. We're not addressing the world. We're simply saying this is world. And then you just coexist in it, and then you leave and go somewhere else with it.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be like any value judgment placed morally on anything at all.
Yeah, and that like goes back
no, not anything at all. Because when you put a guy in a ball, it says, "Hey, man, we think that's kind of fucked up around here." But that's all it does. It's just like that's. It's not nice to put a person in the ball. It lets you keep putting people in the ball and selling them on the black market if you want to. But it does make a judgment there.
Yeah, I forgot that you could sell people.
Yeah, like you can sell them. You can sell. I don't know if you can butcher the dudes with the pal knife. I have not tried that.
That seems bad.
It does, doesn't it?
But also, I just have a chipmunk with a submachine gun that will gun them down. So, like, what?
Yeah, it's a weird game. I don't know. I try to... when I'm playing it, I don't think about any of those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's best not to.
But yeah, it's a very mostly a brain off sort of game.
But then there, it's again back to the whole like the game is simply throwing these things out and just letting it sit there so that you leave and like if like you know one in a billion people who play this game like actually sit down and read the journals, like there's just weird shit that they throw in there of like, ah, yes, here's the thing. Like, did you know that pals do not exist in the rest of the world, but birds and cats do? There's just this weird sequestered island where all of these like 150 fantasy yeah. creatures just live, but they look like things, and some of them are descended from humans, but it's not clear why that hasn't happened elsewhere.
I get why people have made accusations that they think it's all done by generative AI. Because it is the most like bolted together thing where it all of the pieces fit, but none of them feel like they were put there intentionally.
Yeah, or like seven discrete people worked on it and then they had to like cram it all together at some point.
Yeah, it's very like made by committee or like an ad lib almost. I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't quite feel cohesive as a world, I guess, maybe.
But it gestures at things, which is at some level it is more than I expect from something like this. Like you look at similar, I guess I'm not super up on what the lore of something like Ark is, but what one of the more recent ones that I've noticed, like watched some playthroughs of, is like Sons of the Forest, which is a classic, like, you're a special forces team and something bad happened and now you have amnesia and you're on the ground and you have to, you know, punch some trees to get some spears and then ultimately you'll work your way up to, you know, scavenging guns and everything. And that has you are a character, you are here for a mission, you have done a thing. There is a world here that is cohesive to a single worldview and it is leading you towards something and it's, you know, real, like, Eyes Wide Shut stuff going on in this island, and then all of a sudden like it has like a reveal at the end. And this like Pal World does that, like it gestures at things, but it doesn't have, there isn't an end state, like there's no resolution to any of this stuff, and it doesn't have a cohesive focus to the thing it's gesturing at. Like there's these medieval ruins, there's assault rifles, there's for some reason a giant electric Totoro can hold a minigun. Also there's like allusions to different pals being used as like torture implements and like execution creatures. There's also reference to some of other critters having culture relationships with other ones. Some of them are in love with humans now. Some of them evolve within their own species, and they're like the concept of like Pokemon evolution doesn't exist in this game. They are all discrete creatures. Like even the two penguins are not related. The Paldeck entry actually says like you may think that they're related, they're not. So it's just like gesturing at all of these different things, and then it doesn't do anything with them. Like it does feel like slapdash in that kind of way, but it's interesting. Like there are like things hidden in there that any one of these paths they could have gone down, and instead they just didn't do any of them, and you just beat the Elite Five, and then you go to the World Tree. I guess
it is weird that the one like moralistic line that they draw early is that putting a pal in a ball is different than putting a person in a ball. Like we have drawn the line between like the same line that we kind of draw between Pokemon and humans in that universe, but which also seems a little insane. But the pals seem closer to humans than the Pokemon do, I guess, to me.
Yeah, and I mean, there's like discussion that maybe they are.
So it's weird that that's the one line that they stick to, and they don't explain how that line got drawn on this island. Or I guess is the Free Pal Alliance supposed to be the like group who is marauding about for pal rights?
Yes, they are.
Okay, I guess that makes a little more sense then.
Yeah, their whole deal is that you shouldn't attack pals. Their pals are not stored in spheres. They are like compatriots, and that you shouldn't eat them. So they're vegetarians. So that, you know, they're your really rough and tumble analog for something like PETA, but also is perhaps the best actual analog to what maybe a moral message for the game is.
If this hasn't happened, how long before we see someone do like a Free Pal Alliance playthrough where you gather all your stuff yourself, you level up only through gathering, you don't do any capturing of any kind.
I was kind of curious because the we never really played with it, and I don't think that this is true, but there's something in one of the messages that says that, you know, the pals are just like somehow inherently predisposed to being good workers. Like it's just like a thing that is somehow inherent to them. And I was wondering if building...
Heard that before.
Well, yeah. Yep. I was wondering if it was like, if you could build a base somewhere and you would be able to, like, pals would show up and help if you, like, left them something. Mm. It seems like a much more complicated way to do, like, AI stuff, but...
Yeah.
It is there, like...
Is there a less exploitative route through the game?
Yes. Yeah. And I don't think that there is. I don't expect that to actually be a thing that exists, but it would be nice.
And, like... are we going to get super meta and be like, well, they don't give you that option because that is the commentary, is you don't have an option. There is no way to advance the tech tree without exploitation.
I don't think I would give the game that credit that they're trying to make the, you can't climb the tech tree unless you exploit others. That seems too far for me, but
I mean, it is
definitely a read. Not,
it is the message.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's a valid cohesive takeaway from what they've presented, whether they meant to or not, or whether they even meant that message to have like any weight or value judgment placed to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Pal World. I don't know. We'll keep playing it.
Yeah. Do you want to go through a real quick what the fuck Pal Deck section of some of my favorite weird shit that I pulled out from the Pal Deck?
Sure. Yeah.
Pen Gullet. The penguin that you get pretty early on, it says, the feathers of this pal have all but disappeared, but sadly, its desire to fly has remained as strong as ever. Even now, it tries to fly again in any way it can.
See, they filled it with, like, this just real Sisyphean energy.
Uh-huh.
To a lot of it also, that's...
Yep.
The game is, like, very brooding in like a pastel way. It's very strange.
Another one is, it's called Hongyu, and it says, its gigantic arms can rip apart even iron. As a particularly cruel form of execution, serious criminals would be strung up in a public square, and a Hongyu would rip off the skin from their bones. So, you know, not all the pals were builders. They didn't all make guns. Sometimes they were the gun.
Sometimes they rend flesh from bone. Are they implying that, like, is that an evil pal by our standards? Does the pal like that? Or are we forcing a pal to do harm against its will?
I don't know. I was trying to find the entry earlier, but there was something about the pal spheres themselves. Something about how the pal sphere, as it was discovered, it was not created. The castaway discovered it.
Okay.
When I tried to throw the sphere again, the creature reappeared from the light and stared at me with what seemed like an amicable expression. The creature astonishingly began to help me as I began to create a shelter, protecting from the elements. And that is why the castaway named them pals, because once you capture a thing in the ball and then you shoot it out of the ball, for some reason it's amicable to you all of a sudden. So I don't know if, like, the free will or just like the ability to like stand up against one's oppressors disappears when you go into the ball prison.
Yeah.
Do you just like cave in and now you are just worker?
When I think about this game, it makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I don't think about the game and I just look at the pretty colors and the numbers getting bigger, I have a good time.
And like, if you like dissociate from it, and that's what it is, right? Like it's a Zelda island that is like pretty, and there are cool places to go, and it's nice, and there's some like really interesting looking like ruins that I like to explore. Like I like to explore ruins in real life. Like that's nice. Yeah.
If you see a mountain, you can go to that mountain.
And I guess if you have pals in your game and you're going to catch 90 bajillion of them anyways, because that's what you do in every Pokemon game, then you might as well have something else to do with them. It's just the real turn where they're not Stardew Valley style making marmalade and mayonnaise from their byproducts and like living a healthy normal life. They're manufacturing guns so you can take down the crooked cops.
Yeah,
which is just a real twist.
If you stand on your podium, you can work them harder and watch their sanity decrease faster.
Oh yeah, the 19th century bully pulpit. That's just that's where you go give your sermon of work.
Yeah, and like the murder knife, the flavor text tells you that you're killing the pal, but they do so in a very, they allude to it. It's a passive thing, which is also interesting to me that they're not just telling you. So like they have some dissonance, whoever's writing that diary entry. They don't want to say, yeah, this is the murder knife that you use to do the pal murder because you want their parts. It says, like, use the knife on the pal, and then you get stuff, and the pal doesn't come back ever.
Yeah. Oh, what does it say? Oh, knife for butchering pals. When equipped, the pet command becomes butcher. Butchered pals will not return.
Butchered pals will not return. That was the line I was thinking of.
It is very much the same thing, though, where when you kill a pal out in the wild, they just disappear. Yeah. They, like, confetti into their component parts and then they just disappear on you.
Yeah, or their body stays there with little X's over their eyes.
Yeah,
Pokemon.
And it is odd though, because like again, like it's another thing that the game gestures at, like in those castaway journals it mentions that they disappear, like it mentions that eggs simply appear when a male and female pair are nearby and that bodies disappear. Like it's not just like it is literalizing a thing that is a game mechanic in a way that is like winking and nodding at this thing happening, but also is just then never touched on. Like, Butchered Pals will not return. Okay, but, like, what?
They might just be showing you, I guess, the juxtaposition that Pokemon operates on. Like, the silent nightmare that is Pokemon that we just don't talk about.
Yeah, that you dogfight your creatures until they pass out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no one ever dies, for sure. That's not what happens. And yeah.
Like, yeah.
And, like, the same thing with the Pokemon Breeding Center, where you just, like, walk a certain number of steps after you leave them there, and then
yeah,
suddenly there's an egg, and they're like, we don't know what happened. I think when you talk to them, they're just like, we just found this thing one day. I guess you can take it. So they might just be riffing on that, or, yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to say.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
The cave with the black market merchant. Have you been in there?
No, I haven't.
Seen it? Oh, it no. is. It is full of guillotines. Like,
oh,
like 12 of them, maybe.
Like
a lot of them. Like a lot of guillotines and nothing else in that cave.
Huh.
So take from that what you will.
What? Oh my god. Yeah, there's just a shit ton of guillotines here, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Like way too many. Like, why would you need that many? The French don't even have that many built at one time.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. What?
I feel like Power World's just all questions, no answers.
Oh, there's another one, and it has a very large gallows and some stocks.
The stocks are maybe even the weirdest one, because that implies, like, public shame as a punishment.
Yeah.
Like, the stocks don't work without a public square. The point is that other people...
Yeah, like, come in...
And harass ridicule. And also see what will happen to them. Like, the gallows and the guillotine are just ways to kill a guy. Potentially a spectacle, but the stocks are exclusively spectacle, I feel like.
Yeah, and they're specifically for humans. Like, there's not like a there's not a big old pile sized guillotine over here.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're all man sized.
Huh.
Yep. And that's the guy you can sell people to.
Yeah, those yeah. things probably aren't related to one another.
Nope.
Yeah, there's just like straight up nooses on this gallows, huh?
Uh huh.
Jeez. Yeah, I don't know. It's just so inconsistent.
Like, we'll do a retrospective on this eventually.
Yeah, yeah, we have to come back to this one because there's more questions than answers at this point.
Yeah, and it seems written that way, but it's also unclear. Like, writing it that way and it not being completed could look the same for a bit. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, Pal World.
I'm gonna keep playing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like,
the number gets bigger at a very reasonable rate. I haven't built anything big and stupid yet, and I want to do that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Definitely. Like, it at the end of the day, like it, like you said earlier, it is very much a head empty game while I am playing it, and then when I am done, I sit down and think, like, what is this game doing?
Yeah,
but like. You know, it's punching trees. It's sometimes fun. You know, it's a factory game optimization.
They grabbed a bunch of really engaging mechanics that people have optimized over the last 20 years and lined them all up next to each other. And turns out they're engaging next to each other too. So
yeah, yeah. Like, there's nothing here that's like truly. I was gonna say groundbreaking, but like not even truly anything original.
Like, nothing new. Yeah, they've done nothing. Like, I can't think of a single new thing really.
But, like, when you put them together, you know?
Put them together in, yeah, like, a new and interesting enough way.
Yeah. Great taste that tastes great together.
Yeah. So we will watch Pal World and maybe revisit it once we either have better questions or hopefully answers.
All right. I think that's an episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Codex. If you like the show, rate or review us on your podcast player of choice, or just tell a friend. I mean, that's the best way to get the show out there. You can follow us at Codex Pod on Threads. And until next time, we'll see you around.